that's what I'm saying, that I don't think that I'm getting rid of the word toxic. It's not toxic. You know, that's just what masculinity is.
How can I help my white friend understand that his preference to only date white women is racist? Can I persuade him to at least be a bit more open-minded? I don't understand how he can justify his preference, and preferences in quotation marks, to himself. How can he not realize that he's only attracted to white women because society tells him he should be?
Okay, first of all, how does society tell him that he needs to
be
attracted to women?
I thought you said F you to the guy. That's what I heard. I heard first of all, F you.
No, how does the society tell him that he needs to date only white women?
Well, the argument would be that the standard of beauty in the Western world, quote unquote, is white females, or is white.
Where are we getting that standard from?
Movies, magazines, newspapers, music, billboards, models. That's the answer.
And do you want him to continue?
That's the answer that they'll tell you.
Okay. To answer her.
It would be fair. I don't know if it's a her or him, but yeah,
to answer the friend.
Mm-hmm.
He's allowed to have those preferences. They are the one with the problem. they are the ones that we need to discuss right now, not the friend. The friend is allowed to like what the friend is allowed to like. Like, you know, and again, I want to go back to the point that I'm always saying, that we can never get rid of race. You know, to what Morgan Freeman, how do we get rid of race? Well, stop talking about it. We can never, because if I look at an Asian person, a white person, and a black person, their beauties will be different to me. Yeah, there will be certain things that I like that the Asian person might have that the white and the black don't have. Yeah, or
the hair,
or maybe the hair, or whatever it is. Yeah,
but then the argument is that based on the standard of beauty that you think that has been ingrained on you upon society?
We can dig and see what it is that has been ingrained in me about society. Good luck with that. But
your preference is your preference.
My preference is my preference. And my preference is not racist. You know, I just gravitate towards, for example, if it's a white and a Latino, I'll probably like the Latino more.
Then at the same time, if you think your friend is racist, as a black person, why are you trying to encourage them to date a sister?
Well, I mean, again, we don't know their race. It could be two white people.
But if you think somebody is racist, why are you pushing them to that demographic?
No. They're not saying he's racist.
Yeah, but I think what they wanted...
His preference
I think what they wanted their friend to be like...
Or at least rooted in what society deems as beautiful.
So the friend wants them to... try a black person. Is that literally what they're... Because that's what they're saying.
They want to be try a black person.
If you put it like that, yes.
Yeah. It sounds like it.
Try a black person, Dane.
It sounds like it.
Go
find yourself a black... In fact, I would say that is racist. try a black person.
I would say
they're the racist.
We have to be comfortable in people having preferences that also include preferences of race, because, Pronik said, we are human at the end of the day. People are going to have their preferences. We can spend time digging deep into what has led them to their preferences, whether it's childhood trauma, whether it is just simply racism. That, again, that's fine. If somebody wants to only date white people, only date the white people, because then why are we going to force them to date something that they dislike? Isn't that just going to be a toxic relationship?
Isn't that just going to cause more issues
in the long run, especially for the person
someone
of the other race? Because
somebody.
It's like, why am I being subjected to this? If you don't like black women, why are you dating me?
I'm taking one for the team.
I'm trying it out.
It was try day, so
I'm trying it out.
I don't want to be racist, so you know.
I feel like even though black people say, and I know that statement usually comes from a lot of black people a lot of the time, but it's like we also have our preferences. There's black women who won't date outside of the black race. Black men who won't date outside of their own race for various reasons.
Passionate about it. Oh, not black men, black people. Those that are like no, I won't go outside the black race. They're passionate about it. Sometimes to their detriment.
And not even like, just race.
You have not been able to find a single good black partner. Just
venture out.
It's clearly not working out for you.
Just take John.
I gotta stick with the brothers. I gotta stick with the sisters. Yeah, fine. To your death, you keep doing that.
even in our culture, preference is ingrained in us because you bring somebody that's not right home, you will know about it. But I don't think our white counterparts really have that issue when it comes to relationships. Mm. Unless obviously the family's inherently racist, they bring somebody black, the family's fine with it. They bring somebody from Scotland and they're from Wales, the family's fine with it. It's us lot where, you know, you're Malawian and you bring, I don't know, a Zimbabwean and it's a problem.
Mm.
Why are you not marrying a Malawian? Why are you venturing out into the Zims? It's like, well...
Mm. Yeah. Mm. But again, it's all preference, isn't it? Because even families can have preferences.
Mm, yeah.
Mm. And if race is allowed, I think families are allowed to have preferences as well.
Now, to be honest with you, I think there is a fair point in where you can say that are your preferences rooted in maybe racism, maybe not of your own fault, but maybe the way you've been brought up. And I think that could be a valid discussion. But I feel like the approach should be different. It's not about go try out everything, you know? But I would actually find it hard actually to believe that now. Before, that might have been the case. But right now, we are exposed to everybody and everything. On Britain's Got Talent, for example, X Factor, these are household shows in the UK.
Mm.
You know, and you have Asians, black people, you have everybody there, you know? So it's even right now, it's really difficult to believe that there's a white child, for example, who's being brought up and they are not being exposed to any other races, you know?
I would
argue that.
But I don't think it's about being exposed to races.
It just depends where you live in the country.
Your beliefs on those races.
But yeah, it's all about the attitude towards other races.
Yeah, but that's the thing. So unless if the house... I'm making an assumption that the household is not racist because some things is about exposure, right? If you haven't been exposed to certain things, your preferences may be built based on what you know.
Mm.
You can't like black people if you've never seen or met black people. Does that make sense? So therefore, when you do meet them, that's weird people. I didn't know people could be that color. And then the chances of you liking somebody and dating them of that, it's going to be a bit off. You see what I mean? It's like, I'll stick to what I know. Kind of thing. But then that's what I'm saying. I would find it difficult to find that there are people who are living like that. Does that make sense? Mm. I feel like the mixture and the integration of races and communities and so on and so forth right now is enough to the point that now Little Mermaid is black, for better or for worse.
Definitely for worse.
And the movie actually came out. You see what I mean?
Definitely.
So within that kind of world, I feel like you should be allowed to look at all the races and be like, nah, you know what? I gravitate towards this. It's the same as religion. You know, some people say that I wouldn't date anyone outside my religion. That's a preference. Mm. You should be allowed. You can't be saying to somebody, no, you need to be open-minded, Buddhist, actually nice people. Like, I'm sure they are, but I don't want to date a Buddhist, you know? We can't really dig too deep with preferences. You know, there might be issues there, but let them sort it out with their therapist. It's not your job.
No, and I don't know, even if there are issues there, as long as they're not doing anyone any harm, it's absolutely fine. Because if someone is just dating white people, okay, who cares?
How does that impact me as a black person?
Like,
it's not fair.
Unless there are black women like running after him saying, no, please date me, in which case they're the problem, not him.
He's got
his white girlfriend or his white preferences or whatever. So what are we saying to the person?
Pathetic.
Wow.
I'm kidding.
Wow.
Leave them be. Leave them.
You have to turn them away from off the POV.
Leave them to their preferences. If that's what they prefer, that's what they prefer. Unless it's harming somebody in some kind of way, it is what it is. You might not like it. You might want them to. Maybe you've dated a black person or an Asian person or a cultured person and you feel like, oh, you're really missing out. Let them miss out.
Okay. Well, there you have it from Offbeat POV. If this was you or if you're in a similar situation, mind your own business. Preferences are preferences. Let people have their preferences. It's fine.
Even if they are rooted in racism, you know, let them have their preferences.
If you want to date every single color, date every single color. If your friend wants to date only white, let them date white. That's fine. This is a seal of approval from Offbeat POV, and on behalf of all black people, we accept it. It's absolutely fine from us. So anyway, then let's get into our main topic for the day then, one that's been in the works for a while then. Today let's talk about toxic masculinity. Right?
Doesn't exist.
Yes, and I don't decide that because obviously, Pronik, you're so sure that it doesn't exist. Or your stance is that it doesn't exist, right?
No, not necessarily. Let's discuss.
Okay, let's start from there then. What do you understand toxic masculinity to be, and why do you say that it doesn't exist, or it does exist, or whatever it is?
Okay, I don't know much about the subject, so this is purely what I do understand by definition of what do you understand, which may not be much, right? I understand toxic masculinity to be the attributes that men have, or certain things about men that the rest of the world deems to be toxic because it's too manly, or it's maybe to their detriment, for example. And they have deemed it is toxic. So basically, they've put the men on a scale, men's attributes on a scale. And they've rated from good to toxic. Toxic is too much. You know, you're not a good person. You're not a bad. You're a very bad person. Maybe can even borderline misogyny. Like unfortunately, like Andrew Tate has been labeled. You know, controlling. You know, that kind of thing. It's not good. So that's what I understand about that. The attributes themselves are what I don't know. What is it that? Or rather, that's what I would want to dive into in the discussion. What is it that that qualifies as a toxic something?
Okay, Fatsani, what do you understand about toxic masculinity?
I don't know. And
where are you on the
scale? I got curious about toxic masculinity. Oh, I've become pro-Nick, yo.
You see? Welcome.
Well, already. So I got curious about toxic masculinity when it was being thrown left, right and centre. And I don't know if people have caught the wrong end of this from what I understood. But again, I could have understood it wrong. I don't know if people have caught on to the wrong end of the stick when it comes to toxic masculinity and the application is wrong. Because what I understood when I was reading about toxic masculinity was the toxic comes in where there is an overuse of certain things like dominance, aggression, and toughness in a way that puts other people in fear or at risk or makes them feel uncomfortable. But again, the key is the overuse of power, aggression, and dominance. That's what I understood toxic masculinity to be. And if that's what it is and that's how we're applying it in society, I would be okay with that because we don't want men just going around hitting people because I'm a man, I'm going to hit you. I'm a man, I'm going to stand over you and tower over you and make you feel inferior. I don't think any of us here sat here would say that's manly behavior. However, obviously then you get to more trivial things, which I think now are being called toxic masculinity. If there is a man in a household and he is the dominance, using that word again, but in a safer way, of that household. You know, he's in charge of the finances and make sure that the house runs from day to day. And somebody, a feminist, looking in saying, "Oh, but you're controlling this household. You have power over this household." I don't know if that's toxic masculinity because that's just a man using his God-given dominance to run his household. Flip that versus a man using his God-given dominance to beat his wife on a daily because I'm a man and therefore I've got power, I'm strong, I'm this and this, I'm going to beat you. I think those are two different things. One is toxic masculinity. I think one is just a man exercising what he has been called to do. I don't know if I made any sense.
Yes.
So I don't know if... I think my worry is that I don't know if the meaning of toxic masculinity has really been taught to people in society or what that word actually means. I think we are being left to our devices to label things as toxic masculinity.
Okay, all right, fair enough. I think when it comes to what people term as toxic masculinity, I think both of you have touched on it in a way. But then I guess there's always that disconnect sometimes between what something actually means and how people apply it.
Exactly.
And how people use it.
And I think that's where I was coming from.
But we'll see. But anyway, the official thing, funnily enough, it's on WebMD. So I don't know if toxic masculinity is like an illness or a disease or a condition of some sort. Because for it to be on WebMD, that has to be like a, that's usually for like illnesses, isn't it? Like things and whatnot. But anyway, that's besides the point. So it says toxic masculinity is an attitude or set of social guidelines stereotypically associated with manliness that often have a negative impact on men, women, and society in general.
Okay, read that again for me, please.
Toxic masculinity is an attitude or set of social guidelines stereotypically associated with manliness that often have a negative impact on men, women, and society in general.
Okay.
Right? So, what I was interested in is actually finding out what people term as toxic masculinity. Because obviously it's a buzzword that you hear flying here, there, and everywhere. And 9 times out of 10, when I hear it, I'm like, I don't know what you're saying equals toxic masculinity. So I wanted to understand what people view it as. So good for me, there was actually a list of what people term or what can be categorized as toxic masculinity, right? So it says there are a few behaviors that are often caused by toxic masculinity. And some toxic masculinity examples include homophobia.
Right.
So apparently toxic masculinity teaches men that homosexuality is a deviation from traditional masculinity and that gay men are less masculine.
Oh.
So that's number one.
Okay, sorry.
I think
I was thrown off there. Sorry, before you come in, can you read that again? Like, okay.
Who are you thrown off by?
Sorry, what did you just read?
Okay, so
an
example of toxic masculinity traits and behaviors and whatnot include homophobia.
Okay.
Because toxic masculinity teaches men that homosexuality is a deviation from traditional masculinity and that gay men are less masculine.
Okay. Do you know in what way they are less masculine, or it doesn't say that?
It doesn't say. It's open to interpretation.
Sorry, go on.
I think, again, if I'm rooting it in the understanding of what I've read around toxic masculinity and its actual definition, they are probably men that fall within that, because they are some men who will meet a gay person and their instinct is to be aggressive towards them or to hurl names at them, like the G word, the F word, that kind of thing, the F word with the double G's, that kind.
The F word with the double G's?
Yeah. This is why I stopped.
Oh, I got what you mean.
There's an F word with double G's in it. I might have to go back to this.
In terms of gay men, yes, yeah.
You can go home and Google it after.
Okay, fine.
You're going to type it in F word with double G's. So I think in that respect, you can have a man exercising...
Is that not just homophobia? Why does it have to be toxic masculinity as well? Then it's just homophobia.
Yeah, I guess it can, just because you can have a woman that sees a gay person and is aggressive towards them. That's not toxic femininity. I think toxic femininity is probably worse than toxic masculinity. But
I don't know. I mean, I think. All right. I think I'm going to have to definitely go back to my it doesn't exist, right?
Well, I've just started. I'm still going through the list.
You're still going through the list?
No, carry on. Carry on. What are you going to say?
All right, yeah. So, okay. I'm going to unpack it like this, right? Masculinity cannot be toxic. Like, why do you have to say that if a man... This is hard.
I get what you're saying.
Let me rewind a little bit. Okay, so read the statement again. Read half of the statement.
No. Okay, let me present it to you in this way, right? So what they're saying is society or whoever is in charge of masculinity, mm-hmm. whatever, will say, if you're a man, mm-hmm. if you're a manly man, mm-hmm. then you cannot view homosexuals as men. They're less manly than you are.
Mm. But
so what they're arguing is that if masculinity is teaching men that if you're gay, then you're less masculine, they're saying that's toxic.
Here's what I have to say about that. It's not just toxic masculinity that teaches or speaks against homophobe,
mm-hmm.
right? Religion does as well, mm-hmm. most religion. So me as a Christian, for example, gayness is not allowed.
But mm-hmm. your religion doesn't teach yeah? homophobia.
Okay, it doesn't.
No, but homophobia
does toxic masculinity.
No, but homophobia is just anyone who doesn't
like
embrace pride with open arms, they are labeled a homophobe.
Okay, they are labeled,
but the
actual word is
if you pose a risk to those people in some way because they're gay.
When you pose a risk, isn't it just like being discriminative?
And it's being discriminative and not posing a risk. It's being discriminative. Yeah.
Not agreeing with somebody being gay.
I don't know when it was, but I read the definition of it. I was like, that is not what homophobia is.
Yeah. Let's say
that's what it was, but that is not what homophobia is because it's very watered down.
Because the reason why I'm saying that is because if I'm raising my child, yeah, mm-hmm. and let's say I have a boy. Mm-hmm. Right, and I'm raising this child to understand that gay is not right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to understand that as a man you shouldn't be dating other men.
Mm-hmm.
As a man you date a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now I go into the nuances of that. Gay means that man on man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in that dynamic, and we often see it as well among gay people. Unfortunately, one of you plays the female. Yeah, in a way. Right, so it's like if you look at the attributes of that of those particular gay people, they happen. If you put a spectrum of behavior or and I don't know how I can put it, mm-hmm. they happen to be very
feminine.
That's
flamboyant.
The word. Flamboyant, feminine. Okay, that's the word.
Let me read the definition.
Yeah, hold on. Let me just finish this story before I forget mm-hmm. it. They happen to be very feminine. Yeah. Now I'm raising a son,
mm-hmm.
so I'm telling him that based on my beliefs mm-hmm. as well, and as I'm raising a son, not a girl. If I had a girl, I would raise a girl. Yeah. Now, unfortunately, the world doesn't want that anymore, as we are seeing. You know, mm-hmm. you can have a girl, a boy, bi, or in between, and that's why this is a mess. So that's what I'm saying. Okay. So to put it to you nicely, after saying mm-hmm. a lot, yeah. What I'm trying to say is this, or not a lot, yeah. What I'm trying to say is this, right? It is not toxic masculinity that is... Oh, gosh, no, that's not it. Take two. Let mm-hmm. me try again. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Okay, hold on. Read the definition.
Read the definition. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Dislike or unfair treatment of gay people.
Right. Let me come back. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Toxic masculinity, it's not teaching you not to like...
Mm-hmm.
Gay people. So mm-hmm. it's not homophobe by that definition.
Wait, toxic or masculinity? What do you say?
What they're claiming is toxic masculinity. Because, okay, mm-hmm. you say, the statement said that toxic masculinity teaches
Say what you want to say. Say what you want to say.
No, because I'm trying to address the statement. Does that make sense? Because you're saying that, what do you think about this statement?
Yeah, no, but the statement says that toxic, the statement is saying toxic masculinity teaches
this. Let me read this.
So if you're saying, no, it doesn't, just say what you want to say.
Go on.
So this is another one. Again, the first one was Oxford. This is also, but this is Oxford reference.
Mm-hmm.
Homophobia, negative attitudes towards homosexual people and homosexuality, which may be manifested in discrimination, hostile behavior, or hate crime.
Right. Read that one more time for me, please.
Negative attitudes mm-hmm. towards homosexual people and homosexuality, mm-hmm. which may be manifested in discrimination, hostile behavior, or hate crime.
Okay. By the definition we've read of what homophobic is, yeah? Mm-hmm. Technically, one can argue as well that my belief can be termed as homophobic, yeah, mm-hmm. because it teaches against homosexuality,
mm-hmm.
right? Men shouldn't be dating men. Does that make sense?
That's the point. The definition. That's not homophobia. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. It is, But then it adds another, it adds two more things to that definition, which is the discrimination and offense or something like that.
Because it doesn't say not agreeing, because you cannot agree with the practices. No, says, that's not homophobia.
It says negative views, attitude. So my attitude as a believer towards gay is negative. That's not a positive thing. Yeah, I don't smile at it and say, oh, go on. If you ask me my opinion about it, I'll tell you that. What the heck are you doing? What is that? So that those are my attitude towards that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now, does that mean that I am for killing gay people or, you know, they shouldn't be allowed to live? No.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ask me about my views towards that, I'll tell you that that is not right.
Mm.
You know, that is, and I'll put it to say that maybe that is not what a man is supposed to do. Men were created to be with women.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So going back to the statement, I'm understanding the statement to be saying that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost saying the same thing, because it teaches that you are less of a man, and I would agree, because you tend to be more feminine, or not all of them, mm-hmm. but you do tend to be more feminine. Mm-hmm. And that's why sometimes you can pick them up, you know, in the crowd, you know, in the way the body posture, the way they speak and stuff like that. So they do tend to be more feminine.
Mm-hmm.
And that is... already, by definition, if you are more feminine, or if you are feminine, you are opposite to masculine. So already, I agree with that. You know, does that make mm-hmm. sense? So that's why I'm saying that I don't think that I'm getting rid of the word toxic. It's not toxic.
Mm.
You know, that's just what masculinity is. But the problem is that people have a problem with it, so they've added the word toxic. Why? Because they want everybody and everything to accept everybody and everything, and to teach everything and everything.
Mm.
Even to children from young years old, you know, I don't want to go there yet, but teaching them, you know, this whole, the drag people going to primary school and doing sexual dancing, things like that, you know, that's the world, that's what the world wants right now. So anything that's going to fight against that will be called toxic.
Mm.
Does that make sense? So that's why I'm saying that, no, it doesn't exist. What you have here is a masculine view connected with a gay view. What is that going to bring out? Well, we are, men should be with women, not with men. Something is wrong there.
Yeah. I think based on this first example, I wouldn't say toxic masculinity doesn't exist. I think my view would be on this first example, I don't think homophobia is exclusive to men. And therefore, we term it, if you find a homophobic man, therefore it's toxic masculinity. No, you get very homophobic women that probably can conjure up worse hate crime than a man. So I think for me, homophobia stands alone in its own category. I don't think just because you're a man and you're homophobic, therefore you're exuding toxic masculinity. I don't think that category falls into toxic masculinity. I don't see where that fits.
But do they contribute? Because I think from the statement said that they also teach that. So I think for me, that's the question. Like, is that right that toxic masculinity teaches or promotes homophobic behavior? I think that's the connection that they've made there.
I don't think so. I just think if you're teaching somebody homophobia, you are just teaching somebody homophobia.
Exactly. So yeah.
It doesn't really matter if you're a man or a woman. That's what you're teaching.
Okay. All right. Fine. So that's the first one. So currently we're saying it's not toxic masculinity. It's homophobia for one, or it's just masculinity for second. Is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fine. The second one, or the second example given, is again another example of toxic masculinity traits.
Mm-hmm.
It says need for control. So it says mm-hmm. toxic masculinity encourages men to assert their power and dominance.
Mm-hmm.
We see this often in domestic relationships.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a 2017 report found that mm-hmm. 34% of men in the US believed they should always have the final say in the relationship, and 46% believed that men deserve to know where the girlfriend or wife is at all times.
Again.
See, okay.
No, go on.
And I think the term is in need for control, because if you are a person who can't live without being in control, then that's a problem to begin with. That's a problem in itself, because yes, mm-hmm. as a man, you need to have some kind of control, but there has to be an understanding that that's not always going to be the case. So if everywhere you go, you're seeking to gain control, whichever means, so that you have that control, then I would say that's problematic. Even that last statement, you know, wanting to know where your wife or girlfriend is 24/7, it's just not possible. If I say I'm going to Aldi and I go to Aldi, but then I see that there's another shop that's opened across the road and I pop in there for 5 minutes and come back and all of a sudden I come back and you're yelling at me, you do not respect my control. I have control over this household. I have control over you. I have authority over you. Yada, yada, yada. Then I would say that is toxic masculinity, because yes, as a man, you do need to have control and you do need to have oversight of a lot of things, but not micromanage those things. So I think after a certain threshold, then I'd be happy to call it toxic masculinity, on the basis that you are using your masculinity as a tool to oppress somebody. And that's not what men's masculinity is meant to be. Your masculinity is meant to uplift the world. It's meant to elevate your households. It's meant to elevate your wives. It's meant to elevate your children. It's not meant to oppress. And I think that's where I draw the line of where it becomes toxic. It's when it's no longer doing the things that, again, rooting it in biblical terms, God intended for a man to be for society and for his household.
Okay. Fair enough.
Can you read the statement again, please?
Oh, my word.
Well, she said a lot.
How this episode will be reading statements over and over again.
You know?
Right. So, need for control. Toxic masculinity encourages men to assert their power and dominance. We see this often in dominant domestic relationships. For example, a 2017 report found that 34% of men in the US believed they should always have the final say in their relationship, and 46% believed that men deserve to know where their girlfriend or wife is at all times.
I'm really struggling with processing these things. There's a fine line that I want to put in place, that I'm really struggling to put that line. What I want to say is that I don't believe that a relationship needs to be like that. So that's what I'm saying, that there's
needs
something
to be like what?
In the example you've given us. Yeah, there's something wrong with that man in that situation. If a man is overly, let me put it this way, right? I agree that a man needs to have the final say. Mm-hmm. I can say that. Yeah, I agree with that. 100%.
In every situation.
In every situation.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, the reason why I agree with that, here's the thing. Yeah, there are two of you in the household. Yeah, so that means it's split 50-50. Even if you're going to vote, it's going to be 50-50. Right? So what do you do if you have to make a decision? Now, an ideal household, an ideal situation, you know, with a man that loves the wife or the girlfriend, whatever, will sit down and look at whatever it is that you're discussing. Yeah? The pros and the cons. The other party will have their input and so on and so on and so forth. Yeah? Mm. But a decision needs to be made. Does that make sense? So that's where my yes is coming from.
Mm.
Yeah? A decision needs to be made, especially if you are seeing two things, this and that. Now, in that decision being made, a man can also say, like, okay, you know what? I think we should do this way, but since you're insisting, we're going to do it that way. Technically, he still made the final decision.
Mm.
It's not about my way or the highway. So I feel like saying that statement already, there's a lot into that in the first place.
Mm.
You see? To say that, what do you mean I need to have the final say? You see? So that's what I can say on that. That's what I'm saying, that I agree with that. But then if it's my way or the highway, you are in a wrong relationship with the wrong man, and that man has got a lot of things wrong with him.
Yeah.
But then you do get men that will say things like, I get to say, make the final decision because I am the man.
That man has got a lot of things wrong with him, and he's...
So is he not exercising his masculinity in a toxic way?
He's misunderstanding his role as the man. He's misunderstanding his responsibility towards his girlfriend as a man. He was not brought up right by the male figures
but
in his society.
But in his misunderstanding, he's not just sat in his head thinking about his misunderstanding, he's actually verbally communicating his misunderstanding of what masculinity is. So isn't that toxic towards the other person? Because it's still going to have an impact on the other person, isn't it? The way that man is choosing. And I'm making it a point to say, he is saying, I can do this because I am a man and I am the masculine one in this relationship. So he's not just saying...
I understand that. And I'm saying that I'm agreeing with you that there is his mentality, his understanding, his thought is completely flawed.
So can it be labeled as toxic? masculinity.
He can be labeled as a toxic person, yes.
Why not toxic masculinity?
Because when you are saying that, you are implying that masculinity has got a level where it's too much, where it's wrong. But then in my argument is, no. Masculinity, in its purest form, is a good thing for the household. It's a good thing for a man. This person is misunderstanding, and therefore he's misusing what he thinks should be, what he thinks makes a man, especially in a relationship. You see? So he's completely missed it. So what he's practicing isn't even masculinity. You know, he's completely missed the ball.
Okay, fine.
You get what I'm saying?
Fine.
Exactly. You see? So that's what I was saying about that. So coming to the...
Can say what he's practicing isn't masculinity because you're looking from the outside in, but he is saying that what he is practicing is masculinity.
I know what he's saying. I can say I'm a white person. Doesn't make me a white person. So I get what he's saying, but he is wrong in what he's saying. He is flawed. He's been misfed. He's been told wrong things. And now he's taking that and making it ammunition towards a spouse. In the first place, that's the big problem. This is someone that you're supposed to love. You see what I mean? Again, you quoted the Bible as well. He says that the Bible says that husband love your wives. It's never told the wife to love the husband. You see? So already there's something wrong in that environment. This person needs to see a therapist. He needs to get themselves so that they should not be in a relationship.
I thought men are not going to therapists. It's changed.
No, trauma. Okay. This is not problem solution. Trauma. So going to the second one, right? Need to know where the person is. I'll agree with what Fatsani said with that. Yeah. Of course, I need to know where my girlfriend is. Yeah. If she's going to the market, she can say, okay, babe, I'm going to the market. Okay, fine. I'll see you later. I know where she is. While she's at the market, someone calls her friend. Yeah. Oh, let's come and chill. In my head, my girlfriend is at the market. She's going to change destination. Oh, babe, I'm going to go hang out with someone so. I know where she is. Does that make sense? And I can also add, vice versa is also true. She also need to know where I am. She doesn't have to ask. I need to be like, babe, I'm going to go. These
are 24/7. So it sounds, I think, because some things just sound superficial because I don't think we've ever been in such, we can't fathom such pathetic situations sometimes because we're rational people. So in the sense that there are some wives and husbands, because, you know, aggressors go both ways. Let's not be naive. Mm-hmm. But predominantly, it's usually men. Mm-hmm. Where if they leave their wife in the living room, they're expecting to come back from upstairs, and they've gone upstairs to the toilet. They're expecting to come back from upstairs and still find their wife in the living room. If she's diverted to the kitchen,
that man has got a problem.
I get that. That man has.
Get my point, Fatsani. I'm trying to argue against this term we've put, toxic masculinity. Yeah, I want to take that away. What I'm trying to say is that man has got issues. You know, you're in the same house, your wife is in the toilet, you're coming downstairs, she's left the room, go to hell. Why? I'll say he's got mental issues. I would say he's mentally ill. There's nothing masculine about that. Now, the reason why he's doing that could be maybe because he's watched too many videos and he understands that I must know where my wife is. But that's exactly what mental illness is.
Doing that for the reason of I am the man, therefore I need to know where you are 24/7. He is misled, yes. But the same way things get given names, behaviors get labeled a certain way, is the same way things like that get labeled as toxic masculinity
From what I understand, Pronik to be saying, he's saying that masculine, you know, it's form and glory is good. Mm-hmm. As soon as it goes to these behaviors that's talking about, where it's being labeled as toxic masculinity, he say, no, that's no longer masculinity.
Exactly.
That's
something else.
It's mental illness, apparently. It's trauma, whatever. That's what he's saying. But he's saying it's no longer masculinity. Because masculinity, you know, its form and glory is good.
But then when these men are flaunting in society and labeling it as masculinity, what are people meant to see it as? When these men are fronting the streets, they're there going, I'm a man, I'm masculine, this is what masculine men say, and that's why the label toxic has been added in front of it, because we've got all these masculine men fronting about doing ABCD that people don't like, and that's why they've put toxic at the beginning of it.
Then instead of throwing the word toxic, they should have said, no, that's not what a man is. No, that's not what masculine is. The minute you start doing that, you're preaching something else. You see, that's something else. no, that's not what men are supposed to do. You see? Because the problem is that when you put that toxic masculinity, you are now bringing men on a lateral scale. So now we can now that's too toxic. You need to be about this feminine. You need to be about this. Now now the society is deciding where we want to place our men. You know, but a man is a man. A man is a man. And again, I do agree with you. The discussion is interesting because there are those that are misusing what they think is manliness, what they think is masculine, and they are taking that. And yes, they would take it in the same name. Again, big example, but false, the Bible talks about false preachers and stuff like that. They take what should be right. You know, I'm here preaching Jesus, but obviously what they're preaching is wrong. You see what I mean? It doesn't make it right. So that's why it's false something. You see what I mean? So that's my point.
But it's still false. And I like the example you've used because it doesn't get called something else. It now gets called false doctrine. So false, you've got doctrine. So hold on.
Change it to false masculinity. Or that's not masculinity.
But it's just a
that's
word.
That's not what man is.
It's just a word that's been thrown in front of it. Fine, you can say false masculinity, toxic masculinity. It's just I think your worry at the minute is the word toxic. But the way you've got doctrine, the real doctrine, and then false doctrine. Mm-hmm. But what is the subject here? Doctrine.
Fatsani, take a beat and think about what you've just said to me. Doctrine and false doctrine.
Masculinity and toxic masculinity. That's the parallel I'm making.
But then here's your example. The minute I say force, I'm now telling you that it's not that. Whatever the word is going to come after that word force, it's not that.
But the word still remains masculine. But the word still remains doctrine at the end, doesn't it?
Yes, but that's my point, Fatsani. If I say force, yeah, the minute I say force, it can be food, it can be doctrine, it can be football, it can be life, whatever it is. The minute I say force, I'm communicating to you that it's not still, what it is.
It's still a doctrine that's not true, but it still remains a doctrine, no?
No.
Because, yes, it does.
It's false.
Okay, false in comparison to its truth.
Hold on, let's put it like this, okay? Let's dive into the spiritual a little bit. Yeah, not too much though. Let's put it like this. How many true doctrines do you believe are there?
A lot.
No.
One.
One, thank you. Yeah, there's one doctrine, the one true doctrine. Now, we can't point who's got it, but there's one that comes from God. So the minute I say false, I'm telling you that it's not the true one. That's the point.
But the word doctrine...
So it's not it.
But the word doctrine still remains in the phrase.
Fine, fair enough.
Still describe whatever that falsehood is, it's still a doctrine. Toxic masculinity is describing that this masculinity is toxic. The same way it's describing that this doctrine is false.
Okay, I'll tell you one more time. One more example I've got in my head, right? A knife in my right hand, and then a false knife. I have a knife in this hand and a false knife. What I have in my left hand, can this cut vegetables? Can this stab somebody? Can this do the job that the knife in my hand can do?
No, but it's still a knife.
No, it's not, because it's a force.
But it looks like a knife, does it not?
It may look like a knife. It may be shaped as a knife, but it's not a knife. That's my point I'm trying to get to you. Whereas if we're talking about toxic masculinity...
Then why are you calling it a knife?
Sorry?
Then why are you calling it a knife?
That's why the word force is at the beginning, to indicate to you that it's not a knife. Do you get it?
But you still describe it as a knife.
Yes, but the word force...
Yeah, the word false still describes the knife.
Okay.
No?
No, it really
does,
doesn't.
Because if you, really if you take away the... If you just say false, what are you describing?
That's why I was saying that the minute you put the word false, whatever is going to come after that...
I think the knife example was a good example.
Yeah.
Because he's saying you have a knife and then you have a false knife. Can you say you have two knives?
No, you've got one real knife,
that's the point.
You have to differentiate the whole point. You have to label the other knife false because somebody can look at it and still say that's a knife.
Hang on, but the issue, I'm guessing where he's coming from. The issue is having masculinity and toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. Do you have two masculinities there? You do. You have one masculinity, and you have one that's toxic, which is what he's arguing against.
Mm. No,
because,
I get that.
Because for him, there is not toxic masculinity.
It's either you're masculine or you're not.
No.
There's
only one masculinity, which is true and pure and fine. Mm. And then anything else that doesn't fall within that is not masculinity. That's his argument.
I get that. That's why I brought up the whole...
Which is why he's refusing the word toxic. Because mm-hmm. I do agree, when you are toxic, you do put it on a sliding scale.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, it gets to a point where it becomes toxic, mm-hmm. which is what he's arguing
against. So it's like, up until this point, this is acceptable. After that, it's wrong. You see, it's too much. It's too toxic. So that is exactly what he said. So I'll bring it back. In any case, I'm agreeing that rather with the statement, you mm-hmm. know, those men that are doing those things, they shouldn't be doing that. Yeah. But that's exactly, they need some form of help. They need whatever it is that they need. But anybody that will be bringing people up or preaching masculinity, preaching be a man, they are not preaching that. They are not preaching be aggressive, you know. I like when Fasani started talking a few minutes ago when we started this topic, those are the ways she rushed to, you know, overuse of power, aggression, and, you know, risk of life, that kind of thing. You see what I mean? And like what she said as well, you can get this from a male as well. I mean, from a female as well. You see what I mean? Aggression is aggression. You see what I mean? Violence is violence. You see? Oppression is oppression. You see what I mean? Now, are people, you in the name of I'm the man, doing the wrong things? Are they doing that? Yes, they are. And it is absolutely wrong. You see? But then, in my opinion, in my of the matter, masculinity should be promoted. We need to be men in this society.
If you had to call...
Sorry, not to cut you, but even the discussion before about the knives and so, and, you know, knives and black men, this is lack of good leadership. This is lack of strong male father figures in families, in societies.
The double G by accident. and he doesn't even know what it is.
Wow, I really don't, you know. Like, what? You see, it's lack of that. So we need masculine men, you know. But what we don't need is uneducated, simple-minded, foolish men that are taking that and then, you know, basically tainting it, because unfortunately that's what they've done. And in that situation, I agree with you, that's why the term has come up. But we have these discussions to raise awareness, isn't it?
So unfortunately we live in a society where people have to label things because it's just much easier to communicate. So I don't know if you're agreeing with Pro Nick that the term toxic masculinity doesn't exist. If we did have to label that behavior something, what would we label it? A behavior that comes from, and we have to be specific, a behavior that comes from that male person in their maleness, in their masculinity, feel like they can do certain things to any extent because of that. Because yes, you've got individuals
say this is toxic behavior. Say this is dangerous behavior. Say this is the wrong behavior. Say it's not right. Say whatever. Say all that. I'm okay with that. I can't give you a term that's now gonna go out there. Do I understand why the term is used? Yes, I do. And that's why I guess I'm addressing it in the first place. Because on that fact, I understand and I agree with you. I know why it's being used, you know, and that's why it's a discussion. But yeah, murder is murder. You know, beating somebody up is beating somebody up. You know, I can't cut you and whatnot. This is bad behavior. You know, there's certain things that we term as bad behavior. We don't do this. So say it. This is, you know, what did I say? What was it?
Being a toxic masculine.
This is toxic behavior. This is not right. This is toxic for the society, for your life, for your partner, so on and so forth. To be fair with you, I'm not really, campaigning that let's get rid of the word. I was just addressing it and let you know how I think about it. The community can proceed using it. It's fine. I understand why it's used and I will engage in conversations. But where I'm given an opportunity to address it, I will tell you that, to be fair with you, unfortunately, what we're doing, what that word does, it's now, it's making the promotion and teaching and bringing of masculine boys and children a bad thing. Because now what is happening is that toxic bit is left to individuals. So anything can be toxic. If you don't like it, it's toxic. You see? And now it's being thrown around. So now even me telling my son in my house, for example, you need to be a man, you know, you need to be strong, protect your mother, protect your sisters. Someone will come around and say, oh, no, let him, what if he wants to, no, you're forcing him to be strong, you know, you're forcing a lot of stuff on him, no, leave the boy, he, you know, let him be from boy and whatever he wants. Someone can come and say that. Because to them, what I want for my son is too much for them. Therefore, it's what? It's toxic. You see? So that's what that term does, whether we know it or we don't know it.
Okay. Well, I mean, we could go through them, but your answer will just be, that's wrong. That's not masculinity. That sounds to me like that's your approach to it. So you're not refuting, you're not disagreeing with the behaviors. Mm. You're saying, no, they're wrong. Mm. But then they're just not toxic masculinity. They're just toxic behaviors. Mm. Because your whole ethos is that masculinity is good, full stop. Mm. Anything bad that arises out of that is no longer masculinity. Mm. Is your whole stance.
But can masculinity be used in the wrong context? You know, misapplied and stuff like that. Yes, I believe it can. And
which what do you mean?
How these people are, like the example?
She how was can
given,
it be?
The example she was giving say that. The understanding of it anyway, like saying, oh, I'm the man of this house, you know, therefore I have to do this, like that's misapplying.
So someone is labeling that toxic masculinity, you're labeling that.
You need help.
I'm not labeling it, I'm just saying it's toxic behavior.
But like toxic Lafasani said that labeling helps people understand and get on the same page. So you're saying toxic behavior. Mm. Okay, so it's not to do with the maleness of it, it's just to do with the person.
I would say it's to do with the person, yes.
Not the fact that they're male. But then if they weren't male, would they be able to claim I'm the man, therefore?
Okay, so fair enough. But then why are they still saying I'm the man, so therefore I need to state it?
Because they're the
because they understand that they're the man and therefore they have the final word or something.
Okay, so that's my point. My point is that a teaching has been had somewhere, somehow.
Or an understanding.
An understanding has been had.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So what's happening there, they've misunderstood the point of what it is to be a masculine man.
Mm.
And then they are misusing that and misapplying that and quoting that quoting it in their behavior. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that is not them practicing masculinity. That is them practicing a bad behavior, a toxic behavior. That's not good for them or others in the name of being the man. So in the name of masculinity.
But this is where my confusion, because that for that person, that is them practicing masculinity.
Just like a madman opening a door and saying that I'm
on the moon. To them, they are on the moon, but they are a madman. You see what I mean? So you're not going to look at them and be like, oh, yeah, you are on the moon. You know, you're going to be like, no, you're in the bathroom, Jeffrey. You're in the bathroom. You see what I mean? But if they're mad.
Jeffrey. Lows. Okay, fine. Like I said, the response would be the same to all of them, but I do want to know what you think about the stoicism aspect of it, which is... I guess in terms of being a man, you know, be man, be hard, whatever. So it says that a cornerstone idea of toxic masculinity is that showing emotion is weak and feminine. Men are expected to be mentally and physically tough without breaking. Stats and studies show that men are less likely to pursue mental health services like therapy, despite being 1.8 more times than this goes into the discussion we're having last week. But yeah, so I mean, again, they are arguing that stoicism is an aspect of toxic masculinity, I guess. What do you guys have to say about that?
What do you mean by stoicism?
What I've just said, like being strong, not showing emotion, being mentally and physically strong without
all
breaking.
All the time, without breaking at any point. You can't show vulnerability, weakness, tears at any point in life.
Well, that's not the definition of stoicism, but yes, that's where they always seem to take it. But that's the definition of stoicism isn't that you have to be an emotionless person. It's just you have to be strong. But yeah, I guess it goes back to this whole term that society has been fighting against for the last couple of years, like the man up term or boys don't cry term and stuff like that. All that is lumped into toxic masculinity.
Okay, I think here's the thing that I think people misunderstand by those kind of campaigns or terms and things like that, right? Or rather, maybe here's my take on the matter, right? I do believe that a man needs to be strong. Yeah, I do believe that you need to be strong mentally, you know, don't show no weakness, that kind of thing. Yeah, and I do believe that to an extent, yeah, definitely have your emotions in check. You know, I don't think that's bad for a man. I don't think that's toxic or anything like that, you know.
And it's not toxic because you're using, I don't know if you're realizing the words that you're using that don't put fit into the toxic category, because even words like to an extent, you are already there as a, pardon my English, as a rational human being. You've added that word in the understanding somewhere in your brain that even as a man, there are going to be life challenges that might shake your mental for a day or two, that might make you sad for a day or two. You might have to shed a tear here or there. So to a, you're already to an extent leaves exceptions.
Okay, fine. So let me take it back. I do believe that a man has to be strong mentally. You know, I do believe that a man has to keep their emotions in check. You know, so I've taken away the extent. Yeah. I believe that a man was built to be like that. Yeah.
24/7.
24/7, 8 days a week, you know, 365 days a month. Yeah. Now, but then here's the problem, right? If you are not, as a man, if a man, yeah, has, how do I put this? If you as a person are now going through something. So in other words, it's also strength to seek help when you need help. Does that make sense? It's also strength to seek help when you need help.
But then that's not what...
You see? And that's what we need to be preaching. That's what we need to be teaching. That's what we need to be telling the world. So I understand that's not what's being said. Fair enough. And I understand that the notion around this stowaway thing, term that you've used.
Stoicism.
Is that... Right?
Is no that, way all over again.
Is that that's you can never crack, you know, which I would agree. But when you do crack, it's also strength to seek help, you know. And that help can come in many forms. If we are talking about family dynamics, you confide in your wife, you know. If you're a group of friends where you got your broskies, you know, or even female friends that you can confide in, you know. And if you do need to speak to someone, especially, yeah, if you do need to speak to someone as a specialist, you also do that. But we have to understand that a man as a vessel was created to be strong. My advice to men is that it is strength to also seek help when you need it. Yeah. So if you are going through something, seek help. If you need to cry, you've passed, you know, someone has passed. There's nothing wrong with crying. Yeah. In this context, if you've lost a loved one or things are just, I know just well, whatever, like what I was saying in our last podcast. Yeah. Whatever it is as a man that you need to do to work through your emotions.
To get back to your strength.
Exactly. Do that. You know, because otherwise we want a society of men pushing to be that strong, pushing to be leaders, you know, pushing to be good role models. We won't have a lot of knife crimes and so on and so forth. But now, if you check these gangs, it's full of 30, 35-year-old, 40-year-old. That should be good role models. They're the ones giving drugs to the children. They're the ones sending, you see what I mean? That's the problem, you see? But if we had strong men, by definition, masculine, let's develop the world. Let's do more for this world. You know, that's absolutely fine. That is fine, you know? But... if you do crack, if you do go cuckoo, it's fine. It's fine every now and again. You know, do something that will get you back to your strengths. But we should not be teaching, encouraging men to be weak. No.
Okie dokie. All right, fine. Okay, fine. So then, if I'm to bring it all together then, Fatani, you're acknowledging that toxic masculinity is a thing. In that you're acknowledging that there are certain masculine traits, let's say power, dominance, leadership, etc., that can be exploited or that can be misused or mishandled, misunderstood, and therefore they manifest in a way that we term toxic masculinity, right? Mm-hmm. That's Fatani's position. Pronick's position is that, no, masculinity in all its form and glory is great, it's perfect, it's what society needs, is what's lacking. Any negative behaviors that come out of that or that people claim out of that is no longer masculine. So whatever it is you want to term it, you can't call it toxic masculinity because you're still calling it masculinity. So you can call it toxic behaviors or toxic I don't know, attitudes or stupid people, mental health, mental illness. You can call it whatever it is, but you can't call it toxic masculinity, because as soon as you do that, you're still terming it as masculinity. And I think his main point is that you're putting masculinity on a sliding scale, in that there is acceptable, 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 toxic, which is what he's refuting, right? I've been very good today. I've been quiet. I've been facilitating the conversation. So I haven't said too much in regards to that, because I really wanted to see what my co-host had to say about that. But I also want to know what you guys have to say about that. So let us know. What do you think about toxic masculinity? It has been flying around in society a lot. And yeah, let us know. Is it a thing? Do you agree with Fatsani? Do you agree with Pro-Nick? Do you disagree? Do you have things to add? And obviously, the poster child of toxic masculinity at the moment is Andrew Tate. Let us know what you think of him as well while you're at it.
Just don't make it personal to us, please. Some of us can't handle personal comments.
But all right then. Well, in any case, ladies and gents, I want to thank you very much for joining us on another episode of Offbeat POV on this here day, the lovely Thursday. My name is Chin, and I've been joined by...
your favorite girl, Fatani.
And Pro-Nick, as always.
Fantastic. Feel free to subscribe if you liked what you heard.
Don't feel free.
And everything else. Or bits and bobs and everything else. Until next time, stay.
Be.
Think.
Offbeat, finally. I think that's a